Just, I want to finish tonight what we started some weeks back, and then we went off into a couple of weeks of prayer meeting. I was sick last week in Judges chapter number 7. We started preaching on God's moral minority and preached 3 or 4 weeks on that. And then I left you hanging on it, if you remember, and which I'm kind of used to doing that anyway. I'm bad for that. Try to follow the mind of God. Sometimes we just get led astray otherwise. In Judges, I want to read the entire text tonight to kind of refresh your mind as to where we're at, come down to just a few things and look at it this evening. Pray for Connie and Joe. I notice they're not here. Connie got sick on Sunday, just kind of got sick. Maybe she's maybe still not better. I've actually not talked with them, but pray for them. I notice they're not here. Judges chapter number 7. We're dealing with Gideon, and the Bible said, I want you to overlook my cough. Then Zerubbabel, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Morah in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand has saved me. Now therefore, go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down into the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I shall say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people into the water, and the Lord said unto Gideon, everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue, as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, everyone that boweth down with his knees to drink, and the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you and deliver the Midianites into thine hand. And let all the other people go, every man unto his place. So the people took victuals in their hand and their trumpets, and he sent all the rest of Israel, every man unto his tent, and retained those 300 men. And the rest of the Midian was beneath him in the valley. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, that is unto Gideon, arise, get thee down to the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand. But if thou fear to go down, go thou with Purah, thy servant, down to the host. And thou shalt hear what they say, and afterward shall thine hands be strengthened to go down unto the host. Then went he down with Purah his servant to the outside of the armed men that were in the host. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for multitude. And their camels were without number, as the sand by the seaside for multitude. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow and said, behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley. Probably won't say this later, but barley bread was the cheapest bread there was. It was the bread of the poorest of the poor. So he's talking about the very smallest thing there could possibly be was a loaf of barley bread. Nothing could be smaller than that. A cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian and came into a tent and smote it that it fell and overturned it. The tent lay alone. And his fellow answered and said, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. For into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. And it was so when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof that he worshipped and returned to the host of Israel and said, Arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. And he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, Look on me and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. When I blow with a trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp, and say the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And Gideon and all the 100 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch, and they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets, break the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and break the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried, The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And they stood every man in his place round about the camp, and all the host ran and cried and fled. And the 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host, and the host fled to Bethshitta in Zereth, and to the border of Abel-Meholah unto Tabith. And the men of Israel gathered themselves together out of Naphtali and out of Asher and out of Manasseh and pursued after the Midianites. And so they won a great victory that day. God blessings to his word. You can be seated. We tried to start preaching some days back, or teaching maybe it was more on prayer meeting, on the subject of God's moral minority. And I'll tell you, as I looked at this thing more and more as the weeks have gone by, it's been even bigger to me. I'm glad God don't have to have big things to do his work with. I mean, God does great work, but he don't always have to have great things to do great works with. And so we've been dealing with this thing, how that God used these 300 to work a great victory. There were 32,000 of them to start with against 135,000. God whittled them down from 32,000. He took the first 22,000 away, left 10,000. And then God said, that's just too many for me. And he hewed down from 22,000 to 10,000, from 10,000 down to 300. And I gave you that is 0.94%, that is less than 1% of all the people that God used to do his work with. And we begin to look at it. There's more to this than meets the eye. It was not just God chose this 300. I believe there was reason for God choosing this 300. There was a purpose behind that. And we tried to look at the illustration of the Bible said that many are called, but few are chosen. And I think that's right. Many are called, but few are chosen to do the work of God. We looked at several things. I won't go back to it all, but we looked at the trial of the fearful, how God turned 22,000 fearful ones away. Then we looked at the turning back of the fleshly, the turning back of the fleshly. We took all them the gulpers. They're Baptists. They're gulpers. Amen. He turned back the gulpers. He didn't use that 9,700 of them that come down there and laid down in the water and drunk water on their knees and stuck their face in the water and drunk water. And God really helped us in the study that night. They were indulgent they were indifferent and so on. They were idolatrous and they were ignorant to who they were. We come tonight not only to the trial of the fearful, God turned back the 22,000, the turning back of the fleshly, the 9,700 that God wouldn't use. We come tonight to that 300, the truth of the faithful. And we call them the lappers. Amen. the gulpers and the lappers. Are you out there tonight? Have you got your attention on what we're trying to say? And so, what is it about these 300 that God said, I can use them? Now, may I say this tonight, and I say it with all integrity of my heart. God cannot use just, or let me replace that, restate that. God will not use just anybody. Now, he'll save anybody. He'll save anybody. God will save anybody, and God will save everybody. Amen. But God will not use anybody. And God will not use just everybody. Amen. There are certain qualities about a man and a woman and a boy and a girl that God must see before he will use them in his work. I said it before, I want to say it again. I want to be used in the business of God. I want God to use my life to get some glory to himself and maybe help somebody else along the way. Well, what is it about these lepers that came down to the water and they licked water from their hand like a dog would lick? They just licked that water up like a dog would lick. Well, let me say this before I start. Let me say that they did not know that God was watching them. They did not know that the eye of God was on them. Amen. I wonder if we realize tonight how God's watching every day, every minute, and in every place that we're in our life. God was walking up and down the banks of that water. He was discerning and looking at their lives. Amen. Listen to what the Bible said. I want you to listen to this verse. 2 Chronicles 16:9. You know the verse. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on the behalf of them whose heart is upright, or perfect it is in his sight. Amen. God said this. Oh, I wish you could get a hold of this. God said the eyes of the Lord is all time looking up and down to the earth to find somebody that he can show himself strong to. Amen. I'm glad we're not serving a weak God. I'm not glad we're not serving an anemic God, a powerless God. But God said, I'm looking for somebody that I can show myself strong to. Amen. God was looking this night, or that day. God was looking. Listen, every one of them that bowed down and their faces were in the water, God was looking at them. Everybody that scooped up a little water in their hands and lapped it, God was looking at them. Listen to me just a minute tonight. Listen to me. God's looking at your life. Every day, everywhere you're at, God's watching you. Amen. God does not choose people to use because of what they are in the church house. God's looking at people as to what they are in their everyday activity. If your faith is not active in the least of things, it won't be active in the greatest of things. Amen. If God is not seen to, and the character of God not cultivated in your heart at the house, it won't be worth 10 cents when it gets to the church house. Amen. Your character is more important outside the church house than it is inside the church house. Our faith is honed and sharpened in everyday insignificant details of our life. Did you hear what I said? That's where God's honing it. Let me read you this verse of scripture. It's so good to my heart. Psalm 101:2-4 said this. Some of you know it. He said, I will behave myself wisely
in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk with thee within my house. Listen, I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. Amen. Oh, how that brings conviction to my heart. How that brings conviction to my soul. He said, I'll walk within my house with a perfect heart. I'll be just concerned about what God wants with my life when I'm sitting in my couch, as I will when I'm sitting on the church bench. Amen. I'll walk within my house with a perfect heart. He went on to say this. He said, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave unto me. He said, within my house I'll set nothing before mine eyes, because it'll affect my heart. Amen. I'll come to the truth of what I want to say here in a minute. But I'm saying this. God was watching them. God chose them, who was concerned about the work of God in a secret way, a private way, as much as he was in a public way. Amen. The psalmist went on in that verse of scripture in verse 4, and he said, a froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked man. Did you get that? I will not know a wicked man. That word know means intimately. I will not be acquainted with wicked people. I will not make my friends cussers and dopers and joke tellers. I'll not make my friends to be drunkards. Amen. He said, I will not know a wicked man. Amen. If you'll determine, hear me tonight, if you'll determine that those things are going to be true in your secret life, God will use you in a public way to be a blessing to fight the battles of God. Amen. Amen. But that's enough preaching right there to help us if we listen at it. What you are at the house is far more important than what you are anywhere else. Isn't it odd what hypocrites we are? Amen. We put on our best and act our best when we go down the church house. We kind of blend in. Amen. But yet we forget it. We take it off the door, off when we go out the door. Soon as we walk out the door, we hang our religion and leave it hanging on the church house. Amen. But it's important at my house. It's important at the job. It's important wherever you're at that you honor God and walk before Him with a perfect heart. That's who God's going to choose. God only found 300 out of 32,000 that he could use. I'm telling you, that's a big thought. Well, what was it about these lepers that God saw in them that he could use? Let me say, number one, they were cautious people. Cautious people. They lapped like this. They looked. They were cautious that the enemy was somewhere around them. I don't know. I don't even know if I can put into words what my thoughts are. I don't know if I can even word my thoughts. But I'm not sure that we understand the danger of what we lose when we lose the battle for God. I'm not sure we can understand that. I'm not sure that we understand the damage of the loss that's going to be at the judgment seat of Christ. I mean, they realized the enemy somewhere right around them. And they didn't just stick their head in the water and gulp up that water. They looked while they laughed. They were cautious. Amen. They kept their eyes on their enemies. They were sober and watchful while they drank water. They lapped with their eyes open. I wonder if we are aware of the spiritual dangers that are around us at all times. Amen. Oh, help me, God, tonight. Help me. Listen, these things come to my mind. I wrote them down several weeks ago. Their responsibility was more important to them than their refreshment. Responsibility was more important than refreshment. Their duty was more important than their desire. The fight was more important than the flesh. Amen. They looked around them and they recognized that they were in a spiritual conflict, and they couldn't take their eyes off of their enemies for but a moment. I promise you, the minute that you take your eyes off of the enemy, he's going to pounce on you. Boy, the devil's got everything in the world to distract us these days. I don't know where I read this, but I read this once sometime way back that said that the inference here is like those wild dogs that came down to the river and in Egypt, and the crocodiles were there, and those dogs would drink with their eyes in the water because they knew that in a moment the crocodile would jump from the water and leap on them and would destroy them and kill them. Oh, friend, how we need to realize that every day of their life, the enemy of their soul stands ready and willing to pounce upon us and destroy us. How we need to be cautious. We need to be cautious. They came down there and they were cautious. Listen to me a minute. They got engaged in something that was bigger than themselves. They got engaged in a cause that was bigger than them own selves. You're never worth killing until you see a cause in life that's bigger than yourselves. I wanted to read it, but I won't take the time to just read it, but just give you a paraphrase of it. Acts chapter number 12, Paul said this. He said that I might finish my course with joy and not with grief. He said that I know not, I go down to Jerusalem, and I know not what I'm going to face there. But I know this, that God witnesses to me in every city that afflictions and bonds abide me. He said, nevertheless, these things move me not. I count not my life dear unto myself, but that I might finish my course with joy and not with grief. You know what he's saying? I've seen something bigger than my own life. I've seen something bigger to live for than my life. Oh, friend, thank God when you see the cause of God bigger and better than your own life. Most people's face is stuck in the waters of personal satisfaction and personal gratification. Yes, 22,000 didn't even make it to the water. They had to go back because afraid. 10,000 made it to the water. But of that 10,000, wasn't but 300 chosen. 9,000 700 of them was so interested in just filling their own self, refreshing their own flesh. They just stuck their face and drunk all they could drink. But 300 said, the enemies are watching us. My home's in danger. My church is in danger. My children's in danger. My country's in danger. They kept their eyes on the enemy, lest at any... Hey, friend, somebody in this church, somebody in this nation needs to keep their eyes upon the enemy. Amen. They were watchful. Look at Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Are you watchful? Are you cautious? I believe a lot of people, if they'd have been cautious, the devil would have never done to their life what he did. That had just had their eyes open. I'm amazed at how many people sit by and they don't even see that the devil's after them. Look what Jesus said in Luke 12, verse 31, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock. It was your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourself bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Amen. And listen to what he said. Let your loins be girded about, constantly ready to fight, and your lights burning. And ye yourselves likened to men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find doing what? Watching. Watching. Verily I say unto you that he will gird himself, gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch or in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. This know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be therefore ready also. For the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. Jesus said this, you got to watch. In the night of Gethsemane, Jesus went away and prayed. And he said, watch and pray. He come back and he said, Peter, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Oh, my old grandmother's been in heaven since 1995. Cecil, you and Mary came to the funeral the night of my grandmother down near Knoxville, Tennessee. Miss Cookie, my old grandmother would say to me, if she said it to me once, she said it to me a dozen times. She said, honey, the Bible said to watch before it said to pray. And the fact is, Jesus said to them 3 times to watch, 1 time to pray. Amen. People who don't watch have no reason to pray. Amen. People who won't watch will find no reason to pray. If you're not a prayer warrior tonight for your family, it's because you're not watching. Look at your children, Brent. Look how tall Brady's getting. He's not a kid anymore. Watch these kids develop from children to young teenagers. And every parent ought to be a watcher. They ought to lap with their eyes upon their little youngins. Mamas and daddies ought to be the first to see when a child's heart starts turning towards the world. Husbands and wives ought to be the first to see when their mate's heart starts turning in a wrong direction. Have you got enough watchfulness to recognize when a church starts bad? God put the pastor as a church to be the overseer. That word seer means literally a watcher. He's to watch. You wouldn't begin to know the things that I've had to deal with in private since I've been here. I've told you this before. Some years ago, a young man showed up, he and his wife, and said God sent him here to be the young people's director, a young preacher, many years ago. Well, I appreciate that, and we'll watch you and see how that turns out. Came to me and said, I sing some, and I've got some songs I want to sing. Well, sounds good, but I don't know you. Before you sing them with them little CDs, I want to listen at them. So you come by Saturday night and we'll play them and you can sing them and see about that. He sung the first one and I said, you ain't singing that one. The second one gave me a headache. That one's out too. He sung the third one and I said, don't look like you got anything that'll be useful around here. He right smartetically said, it's not your business to tell me what I can sing. Let me tell you something, I said. God put me over this congregation. I'm to watch. Oh, how daddy ought to watch what the little boy brings in the back door. What Susie brings in the door and what she wants to listen at in her music wise and what she wants to do on her telephone and her computer and watch on her TV. Oh, that somebody would be a watcher. Amen. They ain't even just started tonight. God help us. No wonder the devil takes over our home and our churches. We're not watchers. We're not cautious. My daddy was a lost man. My sisters would go out the door with a pair of tight breeches on or tight shorts on and a halter top. They wouldn't make it through the screen door. Dad would say, you get back in there and you put some clothes on or you just stay here. Amen. He was a watcher. Amen. Thank God you don't like this. I don't give a flip. They weren't none of us got a girl pregnant and they weren't none of the daughters come home expecting out of wedlock. Amen. You say why? I had some parents that was watchers. Now, I know that don't set too well in our generation. If parents would be better watchers, children would probably live a little better. Amen. Amen. Watch ye therefore, for you know not what hour the Lord may come. Amen. He ain't talking about there when he talked about that. He ain't talking about watching for the Lord. He's talking about watching over your life, that when the Lord does come, your life will be in order. Amen. I'm about to get stirred up. Listen to what 1 Thessalonians 5:6 said. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. 1 Peter 4:7 said, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication with thanksgiving and in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Paul told those Ephesian elders, he said, I'm getting ready to leave. You'll see my face no more. He said, grievous wolves will come in after my departing, destroying the flock. But he said, watch. Keep your eyes open. Wolves are going to come. I couldn't tell you people the times I've seen wolves try to get in this church. I saw a couple, the old church years ago, two families. Won't go into no details, ain't got the time. You don't want to hear it, and I don't want to tell it. I saw one of them sit back here, and one of them sat up here on the second seat. One sat on the second from the back seat. They come about 2 months. I seen right off the woman was trouble of this and up here. Seen it right off, she's trouble. And they told me they wanted to join the church, and they done told me they didn't agree with some of the things I preached. Well, this couple that come back there told me, said they didn't agree with what I was preaching. The two of them had the same ideas about the same thing. Both of them was wrong, and they didn't know each other, but I seen the devil about to hook them up. So they said they wanted to join, so one Sunday afternoon after church, I took them into the study, began to talk to them, and I said, there's something I want you to understand. We got a pretty good thing going here, pretty good thing going here. We don't need no trouble. And I want you to understand here that I'm the pastor here. Deacon board don't run it. I don't run it, but I am the head. I guide and lead the church. And she said, I want you to know right now that I don't like that. I said, I want you to know right now, the best thing for you to do is find you somewhere else to go. Settled a whole lot of headaches. Just by watching. I don't know why I'm preaching this way, Reese. These little old boys going to start coming around knocking on the door wanting to take Macy out in a little while. It'll be just before you know it. Yeah. Be a watcher. I'm having a good time. I ain't got over the first point yet. There's five of them. Eddie Crusenberry, of course, many of you knew Brother Eddie. I preached Bud's funeral, Betty's funeral, his mother and his daddy. Eddie was a dear friend, preached time and again for Eddie. When Leslie was just starting to court, she went out with a boy that had tattoos, long hair, and an earring. Come to the door one day outside taking Leslie out, and you know when you're having them first dates, you're so excited, you'd go out with a water buffalo to get a date. So that old thing come outside and sat out there and honked a horn. Leslie started out the door and Eddie said, sit down. Said he kept honking. Said, she said, Daddy, he'll leave. He said, let him leave. If he ain't man enough to come to the door, he ain't man enough to take you out.
Amen.
So after a while, he come to the door, knocked on the door about half mad and said, where are you at? And he said, I come to the door. And said, he said, who are you? And he said, I said, I'm John Wayne. I'm your worst nightmare. You have your back here at 10 o'clock or I'll kill you and you get back. He said, one date's all it took. He never did come back. Thank God for a mama and a daddy and a preacher and a pastor and a church member who will be a watcher.
Amen. Absolutely. Amen.
1 Corinthians 16:13 said, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men. Watch. They were cautious. I think I've said enough tonight. I ain't even started. Are you cautious? That old gal down at work chassés up to you, tries to come on to you. Or that old man comes up to you, put him in his place. Morgan was just little. And, of course, as I said, when you're young, you want to date. You're just natural. You want to date, you know. Some old boy had invited her out, and she wouldn't go. And he said, well, you're not hot enough for me no how. She was hurt, and she came to us, and she said, told us about it. And she said, he said, I'm not hot enough for him anyhow. I said, let me tell you what he'll do. You go back to school tomorrow, and you slap him with everything you can slap him, till his face is blood red, and you ask him if that's hot enough for him. Many a home would have stayed together if a man had had his mind spiritually watching and had his eyes and his mind in his household instead of out yonder. Let me tell you something. I wish I'd nail her down. When you get married, you're supposed to give your life to your family. I ain't never been on one vacation without my wife. If I'm going to go anywhere, and I'm not talking about revivals and work and things, but if I'm going to go anywhere, I'm going to go with the, I say, well, I go with my buddies. I go with my buddy too. My wife's my buddy. Many times she's my boss. Told her here a while back, was driving down the road, and she told me as a car guy, I said, I don't know how I've driven a million miles without you. I can finish this next week, maybe, but I wish God would really put into your heart what I've tried to say tonight. When you're in a church where everybody's got their eyes on their self and on their own refreshment and their own desires above their duty and the refreshment above the responsibility and the flesh above the fight, nobody never sees the trouble coming. The devil walks in and he steals the church. You know, it was while men slept that the enemy planted the tares. Watch and pray. We blame Eve for the fall of humanity. But God told Adam to dress the garden and keep it. And that word keep was the inference of make sure that it's preserved faithfully. Watch that no enemy comes into this garden and steals it. And I don't know if I understand all I'd like to understand about this, but Adam failed to watch Eve. The devil got in while he wasn't watching. And if you think, when you look off a few minutes, that the devil ain't going to get in, you're crazy. Better watch your children. Better watch your companion. Better watch your church. Better watch yourself. The minute you see your heart is turning. Sometimes I've told Dorothy, and I can't go into details, but sometimes I've told Dorothy, I say, where is that parent? Can't they see what's happening? Let's all stand.